Good morning. It is a humbling experience to be asked to speak from God's Word. Now, it forces you to spend time in prayer and in the Word. And always, God has a message for you first before you can share anything with others. Now, we are continuing on in our study in Daniel. We'll be looking at probably the most important period in King Nebuchadnezzar's life. This was a life-changing period in his life. Some quick facts about his life. He was born in 634 BC. That's about 600 years before Christ. He died in 562. He lived for about 72 years. He reigned for 43 years, and he was the longest reigning king in Babylon. He's a very successful conqueror. In fact, his kingdom was stretched from the Persian Gulf all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. And we know that he's credited with building the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. Now, in our study in Daniel so far, we saw King Nebuchadnezzar besieging Jerusalem. We saw him bringing Daniel and his friends to Babylon, putting them under the tutelage of his masters, if you will, the wise men of Babylon. The king, we know, talks to Daniel and his friends and finds them 10 times smarter than the wise men of Babylon. We see Nebuchadnezzar having a dream. The magicians and wise men of Babylon cannot interpret the dream. Only Daniel, with the help of the God of heaven, reveals the dream to the king. The dream, we know, is that of a large statue that is awesome in appearance. It has a head of gold, chest and arms of silver, belly and thighs of bronze, legs of iron, and feet partly of iron and baked clay. The statue we see gets destroyed by a rock, and the interpretation, it appears, pleases the king because he heard that you are the head of gold. He did not seem too worried about what was going to come after him. He rewards Daniel with a high position and gives him lavish gifts. He even acknowledges the God of Daniel. In verse 47, it says, "Surely your God is the God of gods," chapter 3, verse 47, "and the Lord of the kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery." That was chapter 2, sorry. In chapter 3, I believe Nebuchadnezzar is still fascinated by the dream that he had. And so what does he do? He remembers that he was the head of gold, and he makes this big image of gold that's 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. He wants everyone to fall down and worship before him. And we know the story how the three Hebrew young men stood up for their God and refused to bow down. We saw them thrown into a fiery furnace. We saw God rescue them. And again, King Nebuchadnezzar praises the God of heaven. In verse 29, we read, "Therefore, I make a decree, any people, nation, or language that speaks against anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and their houses laid in ruins, for there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way." Now, the demonstration of God's power and protection over Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was enough to bring the king to acknowledge the God of the young men, the God of Israel, even to make another rash pronouncement. Anyone who says that anything against his God will be torn limb from limb and destroyed. Yes, Nebuchadnezzar acknowledges that no other God is able to rescue in this way. Acknowledging the powers of God does not mean that Nebuchadnezzar was willing to accept this God as his God, as the God of the universe. And he was not willing to submit to him. Now, this is a struggle that we see even today. In our own lives, we see people acknowledging the God of heaven. Do this. They accept that there is a God, even accept that he may be good for you, but they fall short or stop short of accepting him as their God. Gotta do something here, just bear with me. I use a software that seems to be going off working at its own pace. Sorry about that. I need to turn this off probably, just a second. Like they always say, you can't live without them and you can't live with them. Yeah. Now, chapter 4 starts with a beautiful declaration from Nebuchadnezzar as the king of the ancient world. What does he do? He calls a press conference, if you will, of all the reporters of the time, all the ambassadors of the time. The message was going to the ends of the world, to all nations, to all peoples. Yes, he commanded the attention of all people, and this is an amazing statement, giving praise to the Most High God. Let's read the first few verses of chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4, King Nebuchadnezzar, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. It has seemed good to me to show the signs and wonders that the Most High God has done for me. How great are his signs! How mighty his wonders! His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion endures from generation to generation. Now, here is the great King Nebuchadnezzar thanking God for the signs and wonders God has done for him. Was it the dream regarding his glory and his kingdom and the future kingdoms of the world? Yes, he is in awe of the wonders of God. He acknowledges that God's kingdom is everlasting and endures from generation to generation. His dream had revealed to him that his kingdom was going to the Medes and the Persians, and he was told that the rock that shattered the image was going to be an everlasting kingdom. King Nebuchadnezzar was in awe of God revealing his plans to him in a dream, showing him that he was the head of gold. He has also shown the king that God can protect his people from a fiery furnace. But this did not appear that, it does not appear that this changed the king's allegiance to his own god, Bel, if you will. He had head knowledge and he gave God glory, but it had not brought him to the point of submitting to the God of heaven. Let us all be careful and make sure we have used our head knowledge to change our hearts and our allegiance to the God of heaven. Have we submitted our lives to him? The reason we know this is because of the following verse. Verse 4, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at ease in my house and prospering in my palace. I saw a dream that made me afraid as I lay in bed. The fancies and the visions of my head alarmed me. So I made a decree that all the wise men of Babylon should be brought before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. Then the magicians, the enchanters, the Chaldeans and the astrologers came in, and I told them the dream, but they could not make known to me its interpretation. Now, time has passed. King Nebuchadnezzar is on a roll. He's doing well in his empire, his conquests. He is prospering. Yes, he is at ease in his house and prospering in his palace. We do not see him acknowledging God as the one who has prospered him or put him at ease. Pride takes over, and we know pride comes before a fall. And yes, that is from the Bible. In Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Now the king has another dream. This dream makes him afraid. And again, to show he has forgotten the God of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who does he call? He calls in the wise men of Babylon to come and interpret the dream. He has so quickly forgotten where wisdom had come from, where he got the interpretation to his first dream. The king calls in his wise men, the magicians, the astrologers. This time he tells them his dream, but we find that they could not make known to me its interpretation, is what he says. It was not revealed to the wise men. Only Daniel was able to reveal the dream and give its interpretation with God's help. Here, the dream is revealed, and the interpretation could have been relatively easy to decipher, but none of the wise men were bold enough to pronounce God's judgment on the king. They act like they had no clue what the dream was about. Verse on, we find the dream being revealed. At last, Daniel came in before me, he who is named Belshazzar, after the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And I told him the dream, saying, O Belshazzar, chief of magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and that no mystery is too difficult for you, tell me the visions of my dream that I saw and their interpretation. The visions of my head as I lay in bed were these. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew and became strong, and its top reached to heavens, and it was visible to the end of the whole earth. Its leaves were beautiful, and its fruit abundant, and in it was food for all. So the heaven lived in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. I saw in the visions of my head, as I lay in bed, and behold, a watcher. Verse 14, he proclaimed aloud and said thus, chop down the tree and lop off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts flee from under it and the birds from its branches. As an afterthought, if you will, Daniel is brought in. The king, after all the praise to the God of heaven, he's taking pride in the fact that Daniel is now named after the king's God, though acknowledging that he has a spirit of the holy gods, if you will, in him. He tells Daniel the dream. God in the dream acknowledges the greatness of Nebuchadnezzar's exploits and his kingdom. He sees a magnificent tree that reaches to the heavens, visible to the ends of the whole earth, beautiful leaves, abundant fruit, enough to feed everyone. It was a shelter for beasts and birds, and says all flesh fed from it. What a blessing Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom was. The Lord can and does prosper the nations of the world, so they can be a blessing to all living beings. We're told in Daniel chapter 2, verse 21, that God changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. The Lord set up King Nebuchadnezzar and is now going to bring him down. But there is a watcher, there is a holy one in heaven who keeps watch, who is in control. And he now calls for the tree to be cut down, for the branches to be cut off, for the leaves to be stripped off, and the fruit to be scattered. Destruction was coming. Brothers and sisters, do we take pleasure and delight in the blessings we have received from God? Yes, even if we use the gifts given to us to be a blessing to others, do we acknowledge the watcher, the Holy One, who was the giver of the blessings that we have? Are we guilty of being ease in our own house and prospering in our places without giving glory to God? The Lord knows and examines our heart. He has every right to cut down the tree and scatter the branches. Let us remember to give thanks to God and always remember to thank and honor Him. God is in control. We remember Job, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. God was going to take away everything from King Nebuchadnezzar. God has the authority, and he will do it to fulfill his purposes. When I read the next part of this passage, the verse that came to me was 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Our God desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Our God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 15. But leave the stump of its root in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze, amid the tender grass of the field. Let him be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his portion be with a beast in the grass of the earth. Let his mind be changed from a man's, and let a beast's mind be given to him. And let 7 periods of time pass over him. The sentence is by the decree of the watchers, the decision by the word of the holy ones, to the ends that the living may know that the Most High rules the kingdom of man and gives it to whom he will, and sets over it all it the lowliest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, saw, and you, O Belshazzar, tell me the interpretation, because all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation, but you are able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in you. The God of heaven mercifully asked for the stump of the tree to be protected, but leave the stump of its root in the ground, bound with a band of iron and bronze. God is showing grace even in his judgment. God is showing mercy here to the king. He is protecting the kingdom. He wants the prideful king to humble himself, and he provides an opportunity or a time period for him to come back to him and to acknowledge him. The punishment or the path to restitution is a difficult one. Nebuchadnezzar was going to live among the animals. He was going to have the mind of a beast. He was going to spend 7 periods or 7 years like this. Now, Daniel interprets the second dream in verse 19. Then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was dismayed for a while, and his thoughts alarmed him. The king answered and said, Belshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation alarm you. Belshazzar answered and said, my lord, may the dream be for those who hate you and its interpretation for your enemies. Now, as soon as Daniel heard the details of the dream, he understood the meaning. He did not need to go back like he did earlier to the Lord for the interpretation. He knew now why the wise men did not want to give the interpretation. The king saw that Daniel was dismayed or concerned for a while. He was alarmed. Daniel was alarmed. It's interesting. Daniel was not thrilled about what was going to happen to the king. He did not wish the worst on his enemies. This was the king that had destroyed Jerusalem He had kidnapped him as a young man, had tried to indoctrinate him, had threatened him with death if he could not interpret a dream, had put his friends in a fiery furnace. But Daniel has grace. He is not wanting to see the king humiliated. If we look at our political landscape right now, we seem to want to see our political rivals destroyed. That was not Daniel. That should not be us. The king sees this and tells Daniel to not worry. Don't let the dream worry you. Just tell me the interpretation. Now, Daniel graciously says he really wishes the dream and the interpretation was for the king's enemies and not for him. What a thoughtful and concerned statement from Daniel for the king. Verses 20 to 23 is a repetition of the details of the dream, and Daniel confirms that the tree represented the king Nebuchadnezzar. Shall we read on from verse 24? This is the interpretation. O king, it is a decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. You shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and you shall be wet with the dew of heaven. And 7 periods of time shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will. And as it was commanded to leave the stump of the roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be confirmed for you from the time that you know that heaven rules. Therefore, king, let my counsel be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by practicing righteousness, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the oppressed, that there may perhaps be a lengthening of your prosperity. The judgment was that the king was going to go insane, if you will. He would no longer be able to live among humans. He would identify with animals. He'd be eating grass. He'd be lying outside. He'd have the dew on him. And that this was going to last for 7 years. Now, Daniel also confirms that God would give him back the kingdom if he acknowledged that the God in heaven rules. Yes, that he rules over all the kingdoms of the earth. Daniel actually pleads with him to listen to Daniel and repent from his ways, repent from his sins, practice righteousness, and show mercy to the oppressed so that things would go well with him. This was a simple message of repentance. God wants us to repent and turn around and go back to him and acknowledge him and to show mercy to those around us. Now, reading on from verse 28 about Nebuchadnezzar's humiliation, if you will. Verse 28, all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. And the king answered and said, is not this great Babylon which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty? While the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven. O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And you shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and 7 periods of time shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will. Immediately, the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from among men and ate grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair grew as long as eagle's feathers, and his nails were like bird's claws. I believe verse 28 is the saddest verse in this passage. all this came upon the king. But it was only after God gave him an opportunity to repent. Verse 29 says, at the end of 12 months, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, and the king answered, is not this great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty? God holds his judgment for 12 months, gives the king 12 months to repent, to turn around, to come to him. Nothing has changed for the king. He has forgotten what he has heard. He probably was thinking, oh, God is a merciful God. He will not punish me. And we next find the king on the roof of the palace, gloating, is not this great Babylon which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty? God was looking for humility in the king, but all he got was more pride. Look what I have built, my power, the glory of my majesty. Brothers and sisters, pride goes before a fall. Verse 31, while the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. Is this not similar to the story of the rich man in Luke chapter 12, reading from verse 16 on, and he told them this parable, the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. We have clear warnings in God's word regarding the sin of pride. Each one of us would be wise to take note and to examine our lives. In our text, we see judgment falling on Nebuchadnezzar immediately, and he is driven out of the palace. Verse 33, immediately the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from among men and ate grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven. Now, this was the most powerful king of that time. He becomes like an animal, even with long hair, as long as feathers, his nails were like birds' claws. A sorry, sorry state. Now, the web identifies the condition that King Nebuchadnezzar had exhibited here as identified as bone tropy. Bone tropy is a rare psychological disorder in which a person believes they are a cow or an ox, a bovine, and behaves accordingly. Now, validating this time period, there in secular history, there it identifies a seven-year period of time in which there is no record of Nebuchadnezzar being involved in military activity. He was a military king. He was always on conquest. Secular history has a seven-year time period when he had the reign was a quiet time, if you will. Now, we now come to a beautiful ending, to an amazing story. The Lord preserves Nebuchadnezzar during these 7 years. God preserves his kingdom for 7 years. We are not sure who ruled Babylon during those years. As we even find today, when a ruler is incapacitated, the advisors try to hide what has happened, especially in the days of kings and emperors. You'll not find any record of the failures or struggles of these emperors. However, God's word outlines for us this amazing story of an incapacitated king, how the kingdom is protected, how it endures, and how there is an amazing repentance and restitution. Brothers and sisters, God is in control. God rules over the kingdoms and empires. Yes, even the democracies of the world. Now, reading from verse 34 on, we see Nebuchadnezzar being restored. At the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my majesty and splendor returned to me. My counselors and my lords sought me, and I was established in my kingdom, and still more greatness was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are right, and his ways are just, and those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. Now I'm not sure how the transition from the state of insanity to a recognition of the glory of the God of heaven came about. But we see a transformation. We see a change. We see the king lifting up his eyes to heaven. I was reminded of Psalm 121, verse 11. I will lift up my eyes unto the heavens. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. Nebuchadnezzar's mind is restored, and he praises the God Most High. He recognizes God's eternality, if you will, over time, over generations, his power over every living thing, both in heaven and earth, and that he does whatever he pleases, and no one can do anything about it. This confession by King Nebuchadnezzar restores him to a sound mind, restores his kingdom to him, even his majesty and splendor are returned to him. And even like we see in the story of Job, the king is blessed even more than before. We're told in verse 36, and still more greatness was added to me. Our God is gracious. Our God is no man's debtor. The last verse really summarizes this chapter for us well. The Lord wants us to, and we should, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. The Lord wants us to, and we should recognize that all his works are right. The Lord wants us to, and we should acknowledge that his ways are just. The Lord wants us to, and we should acknowledge that God is able to humble anyone who walks in pride. Now, the overarching message in Daniel 4 is a reminder to us that God is sovereign, and that God does not dwell, want to see pride in our lives. He will humble the pride. At first blush, many of us might wonder if we are prideful people. But if you took a few minutes, you will find that we easily fall into the sin of pride. Our careers, we are prideful when we think about our careers, our bank accounts, our possessions, our families, the abilities God has given us, our political positions, whether conservative or liberal, even our biblical knowledge. If we spend a few minutes thinking about these, I'm sure many of us will wonder and might acknowledge that we too are prideful. Let us be careful. James 4:6 says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Let us never forget our God is sovereign. Our God is in control. Our God raises up one and brings down another. He can and will humble the proud. Brothers and sisters, he can and also will lift up the humble. A quick question to anyone here this morning. Let us make sure we not only know about the God of heaven, like King Nebuchadnezzar did. He had a good knowledge of the God of heaven. Let us make sure that we have accepted him and that we have a personal relationship with him. God was gracious to the king to give him a second chance. We can be never sure that we will get a second chance. As we are reminded in God's word, let us not delay. Today is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for this familiar story for each one of us in the life of Nebuchadnezzar. Father, we are just humbled at the fact that the God of heaven would show such mercy to this king. Give him a second chance, if you will, or so many chances, if you will, having been shown the glory of God, having revealed secrets to him, he still refused to accept the God of heaven as his own. But Father, we thank you for your grace and for bringing him back to you, for giving him an opportunity to look up to the heavens. Father, we pray for each one of us here, that all of us would indeed study your word to learn more about you. We thank you for privileges we get to sit around your word. Father, but the most important question is, what have we done with that knowledge? Have we accepted the one true God of heaven, the Holy One of heaven? Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would convict each one of us of our need to know the one true God of heaven personally as our own God. And Father, we thank you for those of us that have accepted you as our personal Savior, as our God, acknowledge you as Father. We pray that you would continue to be with us, help us to learn to be humble, not be taken up with the gifts you've blessed us with, but be taken up with the giver of the gifts, the watcher, the Holy One. Father, we thank you for all the blessings we've enjoyed. Help us to never be carried away with the gifts rather than the giver. Father, we thank you for having been with us. We commit our ways to you. We commit ourselves to you for this coming week, that you would be with us. Lead us, guide us, bless us. Help us to live for you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.